This is episode 132 of the Rethink Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Nathan Isaacs. This week, we chat with Todd Hockenberry from Top Line Results about adopting an inbound marketing mindset, as well as what manufacturers are doing right and wrong with inbound marketing. Enjoy the conversation, and we hope that you can get one or two takeaways that you can bring to your business.
Welcome to the Rethink Marketing Podcast, brought to you by Acton Software. We chat with interesting professionals who are rethinking how they approach strategy, marketing, sales, and more. Listen to get insightful, actionable tips.
Welcome back to the Rethink Marketing Podcast. I'm here today with Todd Hockenberry, founder of Top Line Results. Todd, welcome to the show. Can you tell me more about yourself and Top Line Results?
Sure. Nathan, first of all, I want to thank you for having me on the show. I'm a big fan of Rethink Marketing. I really love what you're doing. And it's my honor to be here today. Top Line Results is a company that just passed the 10-year mark. And it's a company that my wife and I founded to focus on really helping companies grow. And I found myself 10 years ago in Florida with three kids in grade school and no job. I happened to choose the exact wrong time to take a job selling capital equipment, running a division of a company here in Florida. And it's right in the middle of the recession. So it was a horrible time to sell equipment. But it was a great time to start a business talking about how you can grow, thinking about different ways to attract buyers. So that's what Top Line Results has been. We work with B2B companies and industrial and manufacturing companies in particular to help them connect with their ideal buyers using a wide variety of techniques and tactics. And we start at the strategy level and really help them understand how to grow. My background, I started out in the car plants and automotive plants all over central United States. And I kind of cut my teeth in factories and I learned the selling and marketing kind of from the ground up. And it's been a fun ride. I love working with my wife, and actually my daughter works for our business too. And we love helping B2B companies really grow their business. And that's what Top Line Results is all about.
You have, as you just mentioned there, you have a lot of experience in the manufacturing industrial space. And, you know, I've talked with some of our customers who are, you know, manufacturers, and they talk about back in the day, it was just really going around with the catalog and a salesman, you know, just doing the rounds. I'm just wondering, like, what are manufacturing companies doing well and doing wrong when it comes to marketing today, and specifically inbound marketing?
Well, I'm one of those sales guys too back in the day. And I remember when I did not have a cell phone and I had to pull off the side of the road at a gas station or a convenience store to get on a pay phone to call back to the office to get my messages. So I remember those days. And I would say the biggest thing manufacturing companies are doing wrong is that they have not changed from a top level in terms of the way they think about customers. And the results of that are that they still follow most of their typical old school tactics, and they try out one or two things, and then they say, oh, well, that website stuff doesn't work, or SEO doesn't work for us, or nobody would ever read a blog about what we talk about, or there's nobody on LinkedIn talking about what we're doing. And they end up kind of staying in kind of their old lane of kind of doing things the way they always did it. On the flip side, there's lots of great manufacturing companies out there that are really understanding that they create interesting and engaging and educational content, and then they promote that content to their target audiences. And I talk about a mindset a lot with our clients and prospects, because they think content is literally sitting down with a blank sheet of paper and having to write something. And once we start to kind of open their eyes and have them realize that every industrial and manufacturing company today is creating piles and piles of content, they just don't recognize it. They create content every day in their presentations and the answers to every question that comes into their service department, and the proposals that the salespeople create, and the answers that they give to all the questions through the buying process, and all the stuff that happens after the sale, and all of the things that they've learned and they share with their customers one-on-one. They do this every day, right? They just don't think of it as content that's the fuel for kind of modern inbound content marketing. And the best companies recognize that, and recognize that at their fundamental base, at the foundation, they're really about educating people. It's not about their product. It's about educating people how to use their product, how to apply it, how to get the outcomes they're looking for using their product or service. And if you change your mindset and you really internalize that from the top down, then you start to recognize that, you know, this internet thing's pretty cool because I can distribute my content to like lots of people really easily and get out in front of people that are looking for this, right? And, you know, I sit with industrial executives and even B2B executives, and I, you know, they get skeptical sometimes, and I'm still surprised by that. But I pull my phone out of my pocket and I say, do you use this to buy things? Do you use this to research things? What do you do that you don't, this phone thing doesn't have an impact on, right? Why would your customers be any different? They are exactly the same way. It doesn't matter how complicated, simple, whether it's capital equipment or you sell a component or you sell a consumable, it doesn't matter. Everybody's out there looking. And if you're not creating helpful content and sharing it with them, then you're missing the boat. And the best companies get that, and they're doing that. And the vast majority, though, don't. And my test is always look at their website and look at who the website's for. If the website shows a picture of the building or a picture of their equipment, or it shows, you know, a list of their products and it's all about them, then that company doesn't get it. If you see a website that talks about your customers being successful using their products or services, it explains the problems they solve. It explains the outcomes they create. It shows case studies of other people using these products and services successfully. That's a company that at least starts to understand it on some level. But, and again, the test for me is always look at that website. And the vast majority of industrial companies today still think of their website as just a glorified catalog.
Do you ever get sort of pushback from these, you know, business owners, executives, and so forth, that they're worried that all this content that they've created is going to just be stolen from by their competitors? I mean, is that what are the reasons why they're not doing it? You know, getting that content out there for their audiences.
Nathan, I am really glad you said that. That is actually one of the most common objections I hear to this. And in every case, I've done this. I run an experiment. I did this last week. I was doing a workshop for a large B2B company, and this was a brand name that everybody would know. I'm under NDA, so I can't share it. But I did this exact same thing in front of them. And they said, we were talking about pricing. And they said, well, we can't put our pricing out there. That's confidential. We don't want people to know it. And while they were asking me this question, and it was about 30 people in the room, I pulled my phone out and I Googled their company name, pricing, and I pulled it up. Not only was it there, it was a rich featured snippet. I didn't even have to open a link to get it. I had their pricing within literally 3 seconds. And I said, it's already out there, guys. What are you worried about? And now I'm not talking about trade secrets, the stuff that's your secret sauce and your technology. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about all the things about what you do, how you do it, how you help people. Again, there is no reason not to share this. The only reason is fear. And at the end of the day, if you're good at what you do, and I fundamentally believe the people that I work with in the industrial space are very good at what they do, you need to tell people. And you've got to share that information. Again, not trade secrets, not things that are competitive advantage. But at the end of the day, your pricing is not a competitive advantage. It really isn't. And most of what you think is trade secrets probably isn't. So I recommend share more, share early, share often.
Well, you know, as they take that on, as you know, they start looking to adopt an inbound strategy, you know, what are some of the bare bone things that they need to have? What are some of the nice to haves? And just, you know, what are some of your recommendations that manufacturers should be thinking about as they adopt an inbound strategy?
Well, I think the must haves are, and this is really the key to any market strategy today. I can't imagine anybody would say you don't have to have a great website, right? If you're not talking about your website as the core of all of your marketing, whether it's offline or online, then you're making a mistake. Your offline marketing should drive people to your website. Because guess what, folks? One way or the other, that's exactly what they're going to do. Think of this scenario, right? Your salespeople go out, they meet somebody, they prospect, they cold call, they connect with somebody on LinkedIn. You do the old school kind of things. They go to a trade show. What's the first thing that prospect's going to do? They're going to go look at your website. Every time you do it, we all do it, right? They're going to do it. So you have to have a great website. You have to create a website around the person, the persona, the ideal buyer that you want to attract. And you want to create content from their perspective. If you sell to senior operations managers in industrial factories, then your website should look like it's for that person. it shouldn't look like it's for your CEO internally, which a lot of the websites I think are built for. They're vanity sites if they've gone beyond just the catalog. They need to be about your persona. So you only have a few seconds when somebody comes on your site to capture their interest. So it better be about them and what they get out of it, not about what you want to say. So that's number one. Absolutely top of the list. Have to have a great website.
What are your thoughts on social media? We talk about social media, and it just seems like a space where it can become awkward for, you know, people manufacturing to kind of like integrate within their website or within their business. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, this is what happens a lot. I get this question a lot. Well, you know, we don't think it's important to do social media, or we tried this with social media and it didn't work. The reality is that's the tail wagging the dog. You've got to have a strategy first. You've got to have your ideal target audience identified. And I don't mean demographics. I'm talking about the person, right? Who do you sell to? And if you don't have that identified, part of that identification is then understanding where they go for information. So, for example, for my business, I was just having a discussion with my team about this morning. For my business, consulting and advising companies in the space, Twitter is not great for me. It's not worth a lot of my time. I just do some auto posting. It's there. For the book, our book, Inbound Organization, we actually see a lot of activity on Instagram. So when we're talking on Instagram, we focus on our book because a lot of people that are marketing like our book, and that's where there's a bunch of activity. But if I'm looking for people that are going to hire me as a consultant or advisor, it's all about LinkedIn because that's where they are. So the answer to your question is, who's your audience? Where are they looking for information? That's where you go. If you're selling a product that requires installation or it's complex, maybe it's videos, YouTube. People are looking up videos to try to figure out how to solve this problem or do this thing. Figure out your audience, your target first, then figure out where they are, go there. And don't assume they are not on social media. I don't know. You have to figure that out. You got to go find that audience. So I think just asking if social media is a good tool for industrial companies or manufacturing companies is kind of not the first question. It's a later question. It's a context question.
No, I couldn't agree more. It always comes back to understanding who your buyer is. I'm wondering, you know, what role do leaders and executives play in building an inbound organization?
They're absolutely critical. The mindset of the company is set, and the culture is set by leadership. So we actually start a lot of times with mission. This is how we get to the leadership and way they're thinking is we'll ask a company what their mission is. And again, you've all seen it. You go into a company, you go in the lobby, you see the cheap framed, you know, mission statement on the wall that nobody pays attention to or understands. This company I was at last week, we had 30 people in the room, including the CEO. And I asked him, I said, who in this room knows the mission of this company? Guess who put their hand up? One person, the CEO, the only person in the room that knew the mission of the company. And when I got him aside privately, the conversation was, that's the problem, right? You think it's one thing, they think it's another. So you want them to go a certain direction. You think they should go a certain direction, but they're not because there's no clear direction, right? So mission will tell you where the mindset is. And if your mission's about creating a great product or creating a great design or it's doing best practices of lean manufacturing or that stuff, then you're internally focused and you're not focused on the customer. Your mission should be about who you help the most and how. That's your mission. Be clear on your mission, and then the mindset starts to get in the right place. Then you're thinking about the customer. That's why we're here. And then that cascades down into your sales and marketing initiatives. And it gets a lot easier to think about being inbound or sharing content and being educational if your mission is to help somebody and you live it and you communicate it and you the mission can help hold everybody accountable to make sure that the decisions that are made day to day stay in that lane and stay focused on that outcome and that customer. So leaders, if they focus on numbers and they hammer everybody, hit the quarterly number, hit the monthly number, that's what they're going to do. If you say, we want to build the best customer experience in our space in the world. And I have clients that have said that's their mission. We're going to help this customer in this marketplace, and we're going to be the best in the world with the experience of working with us. Then that's what your people will try to deliver every day. Otherwise, they'll just try to hit the numbers, right? So it's a big difference in mindset and culture when the leaders look at it that way. So for us, leadership is the beginning and the end, right? If they don't set the right expectations with the mission and build a culture that can deliver on that mission, then it becomes very, very difficult for the team to deliver it. Because the reality is you can't have a team that is not happy, educated, empowered, equipped with all the resources, tools, and the culture they need to go be successful. And they're not gonna hit their numbers if they don't have those things. And those things come from leadership.
You talk, you know, we're just talking about setting the expectation from the top, from the leadership. What's kind of, you know, why is inbound about everyone in the organization and not just the marketing team? So the people in sales, the people in customer service, people actually, you know, making the gizmo, you know, why do they have a role in all of this?
Yeah, it was like somebody told me a long time ago about relationships, and this was in the context of getting married, right? And the idea was that your relationship is either improving or it's going the other way, or it's declining, right? Relationships are like that. They're very rarely static, if ever static. You're either going one or the other. Same thing with your organization. And at the end of the day, it's not just your salespeople that deliver a customer experience to your customers, right? What if, has anybody been through this experience, right, where they're happy with service and they call in because they have a question and they get put on hold 7 times and they get shifted around. And every time they talk to somebody, they have to give them their information again. And then it takes them 20 minutes to solve a problem that should take 30 seconds, right? The customer service is hurting the experience with that company. You may be happy with the service, but you have lots of options and you can find them at the voice search with, you know, Echo or Siri or a quick search on your phone. So customer experience is really the new branding, and including for manufacturing and industrial companies. And if every part of your organization is not aligned with the expectations of your ideal buyer and what they want to get out of this experience of working with you, then they're going to take away from that and they're going to hurt your business. So I can't tell you how many times I've seen IT departments and finance departments make it difficult for companies to pay them or to do business with them or interact with them. And those things are friction in relationships that people just don't want to tolerate anymore. People expect experiences like working with Amazon or other digital companies that get them and that are very personalized, very easy experiences. That's what people want. That's what they're used to. So if everybody in your organization isn't doing that, isn't contributing to that, then they're taken away from it. So that's why we wrote the book Inbound Organization, because we realized that the ideas that animated inbound marketing and digital marketing over the last 10 years now apply to everybody in the company. Because if marketing's helpful and sharing educational content and is giving them a good experience in terms of their website and blog, but yet they get with a salesperson and that salesperson's pushy and tries to close them immediately without being helpful, well, that's a disconnect. And again, down the line, right? Everybody has to be aligned around the ideas of what that ideal customer wants, or they're taken away from the overall experience. And that's the whole idea of the inbound organization. And we think the companies we studied and interviewed to spend a lot of time with, the ones that were most successful are the ones that understand this top to bottom.
You know, in a lot of manufacturing businesses, marketing tasks are either done by just one person, or it's rolled into sales, or done by the CEO slash founder. I'm just wondering, what advice do you have for these kind of folks who are already swamped with everything else that they need to do as far as what they can get done as far as adopting an inbound sort of mindset and getting some of that stuff done?
I'm glad you asked that question, Nathan. We cut our teeth on working with a lot of small, medium-sized industrial manufacturing businesses, and we still work with some startups and some smaller companies that way. And you're right, owners and senior leaders in those companies wear a lot of hats. But the one hat that they all wear every time have to be customer-oriented. And customer-oriented means the product has to be tailored and focused on a specific niche audience. Small companies can't afford to say or think they serve the entire world. They don't. They have to pick a niche and focus. You can't be everything to everybody. So then you have to figure out who that customer is, and you have to talk to them and support them across every business function. So you can't sell differently than you manufacture or that you deliver a service. You can't market different. So I would say the people that have to do all those things, first of all, read our book. There's a lot of great things in there for people. I think they need to study marketing and sales, the changes that are kind of going on now. Because what I see is that they think it's a tactic. I call it chasing the shiny thing. It's like the cat chasing the laser, right? They jump around from one tactic to another. Somebody says, oh, you need to do Google Ads, right? So they go do Google Ads. They spend a couple $1,000 or $10,000, whatever it is, and they don't see any results. So they say, okay, I'm not going to do Google Ads. That didn't work. Okay, let me do some videos. Okay, we'll do a couple of videos. Okay, nothing happened there. Well, let me jump over here. Okay, we're going to try this. And they just bounce around, and they don't figure out really who they are and what they're doing and what their audience wants. So that's why the strategy piece is so important. If a manufacturing executive finds himself in that position, I would say, stop doing what you're doing, take a deep breath, sit down, figure out who your ideal audience is, figure out how they want to be communicated with, create content and marketing that they want to consume that really addresses their needs and their issues and the outcomes they look for, and then start to promote it in areas where they want it, right? This doesn't have to be an all-consuming thing. We've seen companies in very niche markets create a handful of really good web pages and a handful of other assets, like a good ebook or a good chart or a good download of some sort, right? Or a really good video that was really top-notch. And I'm not talking about slick production top-notch. I'm talking about just engaging, interesting, and super helpful. I've seen companies with a handful of pieces of content be able to go a long way in terms of driving audience and driving business and revenue, because they just really scratch that itch of that target audience. So it's not a volume thing. I think it's a focus thing and a quality thing, being really good and really specific to that target audience about what you do and why you're better. And that ultimately is what any business is for. If the business is about that user, that customer, that's whoever's buying that equipment or using the service, and think about their world, how what you do is affecting them and their outcomes, then I would suggest they're not going to be around long.
Excellent. Todd, I really appreciate your time today. How do I learn more about you and Top Line Results?
Well, go to our website, top-line-results.com. Ton of information there. We have our own podcast with blog, lots of information. I'm easy to find on LinkedIn. Just search my name, Todd Hockenberry. And our book is Inbound Organization. There's a website for that, inboundorganization.com. And the book's on Amazon and bookstores everywhere. I would love you to check it out, and I'd love to hear from you.
Excellent, sir. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, Nathan. Thanks for having me on Rethink Marketing. I very much appreciate it, and hope your audience learned a few things today.
Absolutely.
Have a topic you would like us to consider for the podcast? Email us at podcast@acton.com. We would also appreciate it if you would subscribe to our Apple Podcast channel and leave us a review. Your feedback is important to making the show better.